cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well with my soul.
Regardless of whatever else happens, if you're saved, it can be well with your soul. Amen. Thank the Lord for that great song. All right. Well, this time we get to have some of our special guests coming. And Brother Josh Florence spoke for us in Sunday school, challenged us, a great work and a good work. Is there a difference? We have a great work. And that was a good message. I'm looking forward to this time. Before he preaches, there's something else for us. Josh, why don't you come and... Here, we'll get him over here.
Amen. This morning we're going to try to sing a song in the trade language.
There is, if you Google it, you will see there's 800 languages in Papua New Guinea. And so they use a trade language where there's only... about 1,000 words in the dictionary in the Melanesian talk pidgin, whereas English has 26,000. This song is in the trade language called pidgin. This is a song about standing for the Lord. It starts off, David was a small man, Goliath was strong. David and me, leak, leak, man. One, two, don't worry about that. One, two, sing. David and me, lick, lick, mine, Goliath is strong. And he hold him spear now upon David, he shoot him stone. Sign up strong, long Jesus, sign up strong, long him. Musky money talk be last, Christian must fight him boon. Daniel, let me save prayer, all man make him court. Daniel, he no goodia, emi be leap long God. Sign up strong, long Jesus, sign up strong, long him. Musky money talk be lost, Christian must tighten boon. Paul now Silas Calaboose, long place Philippi. To Pela make him song, to Pela he no cry. Sign up strong long Jesus, sign up strong long him. Musky money talk Pilas, Christian must tighten boon. Thank you. Abby and Titus did not sing. Go sit down. My turn. All right. I do want to say a special thank you to Pastor and Mrs. Goodwin. They have been taking care of us for the last few days, cooking for us, helping us watch the kids. That was the first time they did something special for us on Valentine's Day. They watched our kids. Now, there's not many people I trust in Papua New Guinea to watch my kids for me. So that was a special privilege, and they've been very kind to us, and we're thankful for that. Thankful for the privilege to speak for you this morning. If you didn't see the presentation video, there's some things there on the table you can have a look at. And if you're interested to be used in any way, maybe you're a retired architect, or I don't know, graphic design is your thing, or maybe you're good with something else, and you say, hey, missionary, is there any way that my talents could be a help to you over there? You would be surprised. I'm excited. I'm real excited about what Pastor Goodwin has shared about the church needing more space. Wow. I wish every church that I was in needed more space. But as you are getting ready to expand, think of us. We're trying to start a Christian university, mostly focused on training young men to be pastors over there. So we'll be building dormitories and classroom buildings and church buildings, plus a house and staff housing in the years to come. So, wow, it's going to be a big work, but thank God we serve a big God.
Amen.
And I've noticed that I am insufficient for the task at hand, but praise God, He's all sufficient, and His grace is sufficient for us. Amen. If you have your Bible there, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The title is, How Shall They Believe Unless They Hear? But we could also say, How shall they believe unless we send? Or how shall they believe unless we go? This is a very familiar passage this morning. Romans chapter 10. Look with me in verse number 13. Praise God. The Bible, God is a loving God, and He says in here in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think that whosoever means whosoever.
Amen.
It means anybody. All means all. Amen. Verse number 14 is where we come across four rhetorical questions. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, the first half. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this time, this opportunity this morning. Thank You for each and every person in here this morning. I pray You would open each one of our eyes and our spiritual ears to understand what You would have us to hear this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here in this passage, Paul asks some questions. Maybe your English grammar skills aren't too good and you're not sure what a rhetorical question is. It's a question that you ask, not because you don't know the answer. You're asking that question to make a point or a statement. So here, the answer to these questions are supposed to be obvious to us. How shall they call on Him? Now, the Bible just said, anybody who calls on the Lord, He will save them. If they call on Him in repentance and faith, they will be saved. There's no question about it. God wants them to be saved. He's waiting for them to come to Him, simply to come to Him. But how can they call if they have not believed? And the answer is they cannot. And then how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? Well, it's obvious. They cannot. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, that one's pretty simple too. And preacher, as I mentioned in Sunday school, doesn't mean just a man who stands up behind the pulpit and preaches in the sense that we think of it. No, that word preach is the idea of heralding forth a message that you have been given to deliver. And we've all been given a message to deliver.
Right.
And how shall they preach except to be sent? You know, this morning I want us to see that God expects every Christian to be involved in His Great Commission. God expects every Christian to be involved.
Amen.
In this great work, this great commission that He's given us. Some call it the Great Command or Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. He wasn't just talking to his disciples, friends. He was talking to the church. If you're a believer today, he was talking to you. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Number one, we see there's a problem. It's a big problem. It's not a little problem. It's probably the biggest problem on the face of the earth. Guess what? It's not political. The fact is, people cannot be saved without hearing, understanding, and believing the gospel.
That's right.
People cannot be saved.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter who the president is. They cannot be saved unless they hear, understand, and believe the gospel.
Amen.
That's the problem. I remember one time I had some very intellectual boys come into my dormitory room when I was in Bible college. Now, I made it through Bible college 4 years. I didn't cram 4 years into five, but when I finished, I didn't have a helpmate yet. And I was offered to work my way and get my Master's of Divinity. So I stayed. Not because I'm really intellectual, but praise God I did. And it has helped me a lot, especially with trying to start a Bible institute or a Bible college, Lord willing, one day. But I remember some real intellectual boys came into my room one day and they said, "Do you really believe that God, in all of his love and mercy, would allow a person to go to hell that has never had a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? They've never heard it one time." And I thought to myself, how shall they believe except they've heard? If a person has not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have no way to get into heaven. There's not enough good works that can get us into heaven, friend. I'm sorry, I had to reply to those people. I think they were really maybe, I don't know, looking for an excuse or something. But it's not God's fault that they haven't heard. That's the responsibility that he has given to us. There was a time on the earth when everybody knew what God wanted. There was just two people in the beginning, and he told them very clearly, and they told their children very clearly, and one chose to reject and not obey. And then, after a few generations, not too many, God wiped them all out and started over again. And guess what? Everybody on the whole earth knew what God wanted. So God has been very gracious to us. He's given us plenty of chances. But people have chosen to reject, and then they don't tell their children, and they don't tell their children, and it just grows. But now God has given us as the church the responsibility to make sure every person has heard. We can't make sure they've believed, but we can make sure they've heard.
Amen.
Unfortunately, some people think that, maybe those people are too bad. Maybe God doesn't really want to save them because they're murderers, or maybe they're cannibals. Sometimes you think of people over in Papua New Guinea. There was cannibalism going on over there. Some of the grandparents that are alive over there can remember their parents doing that kind of thing. And maybe you think that there's somebody who is too bad to be safe. But you know that everybody is good in their own way. But goodness is not enough. I know over in Papua New Guinea, the people sometimes they put me to shame in how kind they are. They don't have life insurance, and they don't have a lot of these other things that we have in developed nations, and a lot of times retirement plans and stuff like this. But one of the things they do when somebody passes away is they have a funeral. If they live close to the town, then they will get the body, whatever they do to preserve the body. And then they will keep the body longer in the morgue, and they'll have a longer funeral. And they'll get all of their friends and relatives to come, and they call it a house cry. And they weep and they wail and they tell stories and they give money to the family. Lots of money. And they will try to collect enough money to send that person back to the place where they were originally from. And in my town, that's real expensive because the only way in and out is by plane. Ooh, and they collect a lot of money from their friends and relatives. They just give and give. Another way that they're very good people over there is obviously third world country, very low income area. If somebody does get a good job, if they manage to make it through, graduate from high school, and they get a really good job, and they move into the town, and they start working for a company that will perhaps provide for them a company house, that's going to be the nicest house in the town, the ones that are provided for them. Obviously, most of the people live in just, natural material style of houses. I remember going to do a house fellowship under one of the houses of one of my students, some of his relatives from his village were living in the town, and I went and I sat under the house, and it was up on these steel posts. Because it's a low-lying area, very swampy area, they build everything up on steel posts, about one story up. And there was a concrete slab down there on the ground, and I started looking around. There was a good number of people for the house fellowship. I was real excited. So I looked at the oldest couple that was under there, and I said, "Thank you so much for letting me come and share the gospel with you, your family here under the house." And he said, "This isn't my house. This belongs to my daughter. She just let us come to live with her because we're older and there's a hospital in the town and stuff." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I was like, "Thank you. These must be your sons." "No, these aren't my sons. These are actually my daughter's cousin's sons, and they live in the village. There's no high school in the village. So my daughter is letting them come and stay here in the house with her while they go to high school." And I was like, "Oh, and this must be one of your relatives. There was another elderly couple laying there under the house." He's like, "No, actually, we just bumped into them at the hospital, and their village is 5 days hike away. So we're just letting them stay here until they're well enough to get better and go back." And I'm looking around. There's about 12, 15 people under the house, and they're all living there. They're all sleeping there. And none of them are really, belong there as we would normally think of it. They're not part of the nuclear family. You know what I mean? The husband, wife, children, which I understand that's changing a lot these days. But what am I trying to say? They are good people. They are very kind. They are very compassionate in their own way. But if they've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're not going to go to heaven. If they have never believed and called upon Christ for salvation, then they're not going to go to heaven. You know, it's the same for us in here today. It doesn't matter how good we are, how many times we've gone to church, or how much we've helped our grandchildren, or put our kids through college, or give it to charities. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And there is no way on this earth that we could ever be good enough to be righteous, completely right in God's eyes. But praise God, you have a chance to hear how you can become righteous this morning. See, the problem is that they cannot be saved without hearing and understanding the gospel. It's not God's fault. He says it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world." That's everyone. That's you and me. And that's everyone else too. Well, we've seen the problem now. What is God's plan? What is God's plan? "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Friends, God has a plan for every single person on this earth to hear the gospel. Now, I've often thought about this. Wouldn't it be nice if it said, "How shall they hear without a gospel track?" You know, recently, there's about 7 million people in Papua New Guinea. It's not that big of a country. It's just they're all spread out in all these different languages and all these different areas. But I thought, man, if I could just get like enough money and print enough gospel tracts, I could just fly over the country and drop them all off, and they could all read the gospel. The Bible doesn't say, "How shall they hear without a gospel tract?" It says, "How shall they hear without someone to explain it to them? Someone to give it to them. Someone to help them to understand the gospel." They need to be personally explained. Here in America, we have a lot of privileges. You can read a gospel tract and most likely understand the gospel. You can hear it at the fair if somebody is willing to go and share it there with you. You can see it. You can Google it on, the internet. You can watch YouTube video and somebody can give you the gospel. You can come to a church like this and hear the gospel. You can sometimes, some people on the television might even be preaching the gospel. It's kind of hit and miss. I understand that. But we have so many different ways to hear the gospel. But in many countries, they only have one way. If somebody goes to them and explains it to them, there's a lot of things that we have in our culture because our America was founded upon a biblical foundation. If you read the documents, the founding fathers, they refer to God all throughout them. But in a country like Papua New Guinea, when they hear that you need to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved, well, they just want to like kind of tack that on to their other things that they've done to be saved. They don't really understand what it means. They need somebody to go and explain it to them. Perhaps there's somebody near you that needs you to sit down with them and explain it to them. A lot of times I ask people in Papua New Guinea, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh, yes." I remember one funny story. This fellow, I asked him if he was a Christian. He said, yes. I said, how did you get saved? He said, well, I was drinking beer and I got really drunk. And there's one highway going out of my town. It's about 3 hours long, and then it dead ends into another town, but that's the end of it. And he's like, I got in the back of a pickup truck and we were bouncing down the highway and the tailgate fell open. And just as I was falling out, I reached and I grabbed and caught onto the side and I said, God, save me. That's how I got saved. You know, there's probably somebody in your neighborhood that got saved the same way. Or maybe they had a dream. Or maybe they went to church and they felt something. And they think that they're a Christian now. You know what they need? The same thing the Ethiopian eunuch needed. He was seeking God. He had gone to the temple to find God. He was reading the Bible. And what did he tell Philip? Philip came up to him in Acts 30 and he said, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip to come up and show him. Just a few minutes, we don't know how much longer later, he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ because Philip, somebody went and explained to him. It doesn't have to be in a certain kind of setting. You could be just drinking coffee or playing golf or in a gym or anywhere and explain to a person that they are a sinner. There's no way that they can be saved in their own good works and by their own merit. But God loved them enough to send his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, when he lived on this earth, friend, he was perfect. You know, some people, we always like to say, nobody's perfect. Yeah, there was one. It was Jesus. And he was the only one who could actually please the Father in his own way, on his own merits. And yet he died in our place to take our punishment. Right. Friend, has there been a time in your life when you said, God, I need to turn from my sins and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Have you ever done that? Then guess what? You're qualified to tell someone else how to do it. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to get a degree of some sort. You just have to get saved. It's been kind of stressful for me seeing those young boys coming to my Bible Institute preach on the streets. It's kind of stressful. You know, it's kind of like when your kids first start to use a spoon for the first time. You know, they're eating that kind of pureed food, and you give them that little spoon that's supposed to be real easy to get in their mouth, and you see them putting their spoon down in there, and they're starting to go towards their mouth, and you don't know where that spoon is going, and you want to grab their hand and kind of get it in the right direction. As long as you keep your hand on there, they're never going to learn how to feed themselves, you understand? I remember there were some young men who came to the Bible Institute, and they believed the gospel, and they wanted to preach. And I said, okay, go ahead. And I'm standing there and I'm listening and I keep wanting to say, kind of like interject, you know what I mean? Because the way that they explained the gospel was, it was like a little baby feeding themselves. But you know what? They got the basics. They got the basics. There was people who came up to us. There was people who came to visit our church. There was people who got saved through those young men just sharing their faith. Now here, I understand we don't do it on the street corner very much in our American society, but over there, everybody walks everywhere, so that's a normal way of making an announcement. So we've seen there is a problem. People have to hear, understand, and believe the gospel to be saved, but there's a plan to get them the gospel. Those of us who have believed, we just share. Just share our own testimony. Just share what God did in our life. Do your children know when you got saved? Not too long ago, I heard for the first time when my dad got saved. He's been a head deacon in a church for maybe 30 or 40 years. And I got to hear his testimony for the first time just about a couple months ago. Why is that? We just don't get in the habit of sharing our testimony. Sometimes we think, oh, I've told that before. And people have heard it before. Well, it's okay. They can hear it again. I want to tell you about a young man named Wagi Wadisu, and I'll be finishing up with this. I remember his father came to our church there, and he came because he liked the traditional music. Some missionaries had come out of Australia and started a group of churches there in the Western Province maybe 50 years ago, and after they all retired and went back, that group continued to go towards a liberal denomination, and now today they're not preaching the gospel. One of my friends was attending one of those churches and they were having a baptism service on Easter Sunday, and after the few folks who had come to get baptized got baptized, the minister said, "Anybody else want to get baptized today?" Maybe you don't see a problem with that, but I'm of the opinion you need to get saved first. But he was just like, "Anybody want to get baptized? Come on." You know, Easter morning, that's the time for them and their group. But anyways, this fellow came to our church. He was a believer, and he had grown up under some great Bible preaching, and he came to our church. And he told me, he said, "Missionary, when I was a little kid, I watched the property for another missionary. So if you ever want to start, you know, something, I'll try to help you with your property." So now he's watching my property today, Lord willing. We call him the property manager. And he's saved, and he loves the Lord. And he said, "If you start a Bible Institute, I really want my son to come. He's living in the world. His name is Wagiba Dusu. And his cousin's name is Wamida. And their cousin's name is Dwagina. So by the way, if you think it's going to be easy to keep all them straight, it ain't." But Wagiba came, and his dad called him and he said, "You need to come up here." Well, I didn't know this, but Wagiba had been selling drugs and illegal weapons in the village. And he had gotten his girlfriend pregnant, and so everybody in the village was really angry with him. So I didn't realize that he was kind of running away from something. All I knew is here comes this young man, and his father is saved, and he wants him to come to the Bible Institute, and he comes, and his pants are kind of hanging down in the back. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen that before? Anyways, and
he liked to talk like this.
And, you know, I didn't make a big deal out of it.
He just would not raise his voice for anybody.
Unless he really like stole something from them, be like, "Hey!" I'm like, you know, you can talk like that all the time if you want to. But anyways, I remember he came for a few months, and I didn't just immediately try to get him saved. I just let him sit under the preaching of the Word of God. He was required to come to all the church services. He was required to come to the Bible Institute classes and these things. And I paid him to do a little bit of work around the property, cut the grass and stuff like that. So he was there, and I remember we'd had some problems on our property. We were raising ducks. The Chinese in my town love duck meat, and everybody else is raising chickens, so we started raising ducks. Well, one problem, we had these two-legged predators that kept coming and stealing our ducks. They were about 6 foot tall, and they would come at night when everybody was sleeping. So we started doing security. I told the boys living on the property, security. Well, one day it was pouring down rain, and so they went and they were drinking tea around the fire or whatever. After the rain ended, the ducks were missing. These people came in the rainstorm and stole ducks. So anyways, now I said 24-hour security all night, all day, everything. And it was my turn. I was going to go and spend the night at the property with them. I lived on the different property at the time. So that night, me and Wagiba were sitting around a fire, keeping our eyes on the ducks. You know, stars are out, beautiful night there in a tropical Papua New Guinea. And I asked him, "Brother, are you a Christian?" "Yeah, I'm a Christian." "How'd you get saved?" "I remember when I got on the boat to come up here to the Bible Institute, I gave my life to God and told him I'm going to be good now." It's like, "Oh, okay." It's like, "Real? Are you a sinner?" He goes, "Yeah, I know I'm a really bad sinner." He's like, "You see this scar on my nose?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've noticed that."
He's like, "That's why I talk like this."
I'm like, "Okay."
"Messed up my nasal passages."
"Okay. What happened?" "Well, I got my girlfriend pregnant, and her parents were really angry, so her brothers came, and one of them tried to stab me with a screwdriver, and he got me right there in the nose." I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's rough." And so anyways, he's like, "Yeah, I know I'm a bad sinner. Do you know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven?" "Oh, I don't know." "You know what Jesus did for you? How he lived a perfect life? How he died on the cross to take the punishment for your sins? And he says, if you will simply come to him in faith and trust him and ask him to save you, he'll do it." "Yeah. Do you need to do that?" "Yeah, I need to do that." So that night, I was able to lead Wagiba to the Lord. And that was the one I didn't realize, but I think I have two pictures of the same person getting baptized in my video. And that was him. I'm really excited about that. You guys excited about that? You know, I believe that God can use you to lead somebody to the Lord. God can use you to invite somebody to church and they can get saved. God can use you to pray and somebody can come and get saved. But God expects every one of us to be involved in this great commission in some ways, some shape, some form. Maybe this morning you're sitting here and you're not sure. You're not sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. I can show you from the Bible. Pastor can show you from the Bible. He has some men. If you're a lady, he has some women who can pray with you, who can help you to know for sure that today, based on God's word, not on emotion, not on a vision, not on a dream, but based on what God has promised us in his word, you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Why not get that settled before you leave the property today? And then for those of us who are Christians, why not ask God to lay a burden on our heart for the lost? Why not ask God to lay a number of opportunities on our heart? Say, God, let me take the time to talk to at least some number of people every week or every month. Ask God to put that on your heart and your mind today as Pastor comes to conclude the service.
I'd like to have every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, I was thinking about this as Brother Josh was preaching. If you're here this morning and you are saved, maybe you came in this morning and you didn't have a burden per se on your heart, something you're meditating on. It's the gospel. You realize you should do it and you're trying to do better. Let me challenge you, Christian. Now, maybe the Lord's already spoken to you about something, but I was thinking about this. You realize that each one of us, if we prayed for God to burden our hearts with one person, Lord, burden my heart with one person that does not know you, an individual, not somebody that's nameless, but somebody that you would know. Do you realize that if we were to win them to the Lord, our number would be doubled in the Lord? Now, where did they win or what happened after that? That's called reproduction in the family of God. That you could reach them for Christ. Let me challenge you. Would you pray that? I believe God would answer that. Maybe you're here this morning and you know, there's something else God's laid on your heart, totally unrelated to the message. God can do that. He'll pull a verse out of Scripture that's being addressed and address something in your life. And friend, if that's the case, and there's something specific that God is speaking to you about, then that is His message for you today. Respond. Oh, respond. Maybe you came here today and you were thinking about salvation. You were thinking about the church. Maybe you weren't. And through the course of the message, you realized that you would say you're a Christian, but you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well then, friend, that's something you need to do in order to get to heaven. Jesus said, unless you be born again, you shall in no wise see the kingdom of God. That's an opportunity you have today. Now, chances are most of you here this morning probably have accepted Christ as Savior, but you might not have before. Today's a perfect opportunity. If God's speaking to your heart, then during the invitation hymn, if you come forward down to the front, we won't embarrass you or anything. If you're a man, I'll put you with Brother Josh Florence. If you're a lady, I'll put you with a lady. And they can show you from the Word of God how that you can know for certain you're going to heaven when you die. Would you stand with me? We'll have a word of prayer in the invitational hymn. Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the clarity in which it was presented. I pray that you would move in our hearts. Help us to respond in obedience. In your name I pray. Amen. If God's spoken to you this morning, friend, why don't you come? ask Brother Sam Ogg, would you please close us in a word of prayer this morning, after which you'll be dismissed.
Father, we thank you for all you've done for us, all you're going to do. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us, all you're going to do. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us, all you're going to do.